Blog Talk Radio.
No, they don't.
I think probably Honolulu is on fire as well.
Yeah, I think it's in three separate parts.
Yeah.
The vast majority of that island is on fire. So I guess, you know, and it says being fanned by some high winds from a hurricane.
Right.
To the south. Maybe it'll come and put the fires out. I don't know if it's protected to hit that island or not. But they need the rain for sure. It says, you know, it's a real dry season over there, just like in Europe. They got wildfires going on, and in the south, I know in the southwest here. Did you talk to your sister today, Sister Denise?
I did. I talked to her earlier. I thought she would be online by now. You want me to call her?
You can. See if she just fell asleep or something. Maybe she got an emergency call.
Well, hi there.
Well, hello.
Hello, what are you doing?
I'm waiting on class. I'm
just
looking at that
train.
It was just on.
But Brother Miles said he's going to call in.
Oh, what time is it?
7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bella is after 7 for her.
He's been to sign in now.
All right, amen.
All right. So how was the market?
The market was good. It really was. It was busy, and we sold a lot. And, you know, people were, you know, they came looking from the last market, and so, or from the one last month. So, yeah, we did probably close to 400. Which is good for, you know, since this summer. It was pretty good. So I was happy with it. And everybody's, you know, looking for us to be back next month at that market. So, and then, you know, after that, the regulars, the winter, what they call the snowbirds will start to return. And they're more so... health conscious than the ones that are living there year round, the same.
Did you get my tithe?
I haven't gone to the mailbox yet for this month. I will probably go after the meeting tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, but when it's the heat, I try not to go nowhere unless I just absolutely have to.
I cannot blame.
Yeah, I absolutely have to. You know, waiting for my wife. She was took her father to the doctor, and she's on her way back here. So she should be here shortly. And
you and I are here.
Yeah. But we can't conduct business.
I know.
But I can sit here and talk with you.
Oh.
Yep. Now, how are your niece and nephew there doing?
They're doing fine.
That's good. That's good. There goes Sister Denise.
Hey, hello. I'm sitting up there waiting on time, and it needs to pass me by.
Oh, now that's bad when time passes you by.
Right.
That don't get to happen often, but bad when it does.
It is.
Amen. And how you doing, my sister?
I'm good.
Amen. Now, has it started to cool off where you guys are at yet?
A little bit. The question is it cooled off that where you at?
Heck no. It is, 5 o'clock, 5:10, and I get into the heat of the day. So, let's see, we're probably at the high today, so it's 105. So that's a little bit cooler because it's been like 115, 117. So, yeah, 105 is a little bit cooler, but I don't be trying to, once it's hot, it's hot.
Right. But
so I don't be trying to go out. If I don't have to, I don't try to go out in it. Cause
I don't play.
An hour or so out there, and I'm done. I mean, I'm done for the day.
Right,
because
the sun drains you out.
It does. Takes all the energy from you, and
mm-hmm.
and I don't get nothing else done. I was going to. I have two vacuum cleaners, like little shop vac, and
mm-hmm.
I use them to clean the grow tents, and then I use them on the air conditioners because sometimes they get clogged. And both of them burn out, so I was going to see if I could repair them today. But I had to turn off, I'm surprised that it's cool down here in my office as it is, because I don't have no AC running. And so usually it'll be burning up in here, but right now, kind of halfway comfortable.
Well, that's good.
But, yeah, we're supposed to have somebody coming out and looking at it, because the line had frozen up. And I will go up in that attic. It's going to be 10, 15 degrees hotter in the attic than it is outside.
Right.
Yeah, because the heat goes up.
Yep. And then, that attic, it is, it's just sort of to vent air out of the house. But once it gets hot up there, it's just hot. It's hotter than it is outside.
Right.
So I try to wait until nighttime to go up there and try late at night at that, give it a chance to cool down. But we just need to call somebody out here. Anyway, it's just you and I right now, the two, you and you, Sister Mary, Sister Niece. Let me check and see if somebody called in to that number. Nobody's called into that number. I was trying to wait on my wife to get home. I don't know how far away she is. Let me see. Hey, about how far away are you? Oh, okay. I was trying to wait for you to get here. Okay. Okay. Here now. And so we'll go ahead and start. And I think I saw where you sent me the minutes from last week, didn't you, Sister Mary?
I did.
Okay, let me look that up. Up the minute. So Mary, don't want to open up your email. Would have been the third?
Yeah. Don't want to open up?
I got it now.
Oh.
Had to give it today's date as part of the file name so I could find it. I know AC is on. It's kind of weird. Okay. You have your copy there, Sister Mary? Sister Mary?
How did you mute me?
I didn't mute you.
My bad. Yes, I have a copy of that.
Can you go ahead and read from your copy?
You want me to read it now?
Yeah. Well, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Let's go ahead and pray and do that stuff. We haven't done it yet. Bow ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to do business in your name, in your show homicide's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Be in order. Sister Mary, if you'll read the minutes from last minute. The minutes from last meeting.
Okay. Our last meeting was August the 3rd, 2023. We started it, huh?
No, go ahead. Nobody said anything, I don't think.
We started at 7 p.m. and we ended at like 9:45. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Miles, Sister Mary. Discussion of the meeting was Michael Green. The market was pretty good. Okay, see, I'm reading shorthand now.
Okay, but it's
August market was fired. I know. The August market was fired next week on Wednesday. Changing the growing of the plants, the sunflower, the broccoli, the celery seeds are now germinating. Last week, Michael Green, Brother Miles turned to Michael Green's house. Brother Miles signed up for a new market under the same management. He is looking for sales to grow up in October. He has written a letter to stores. Only one person complained about the Michael Green's not lasting long, and then we went to the grant. There's no update on our grant as of yet. Mr. Mason at Madison talks about how the black farmers are being treated differently than the white farmers. Brother Miles is trying to see another way to apply for the grant. But we're going to believe in the Most High to make things work out for us. The FSA was okay. Where you go when you have a hard time with the grant, the bylaw, section 12.01, number 5. A, B, and C was added to this section. The section that was added was about young married, a couple, young adult, less than 20 years old, and okay, I forgot the, single adult living with their parents, signed a pop. Section 12.01, number 5, is still tabled until the next week. And that's all I have for
now. Okay. All right, let's make one correction here. due to loan.
Oh, okay, my bad.
And they are even more prejudiced than, you know, they're one of the major discriminating bodies in the USDA.
Oh.
So, but that's who we would have to go to through first for a loan if we were going to get a loan. And I'm looking at going to them and putting an application to refinance the land because their finance charges are only 1%. That's why they don't want to give it to black people. Because, you know, banks are going to be anywhere from 5 to 8%, and the loans up under them are at 1%. A big difference in the payment. Okay, update on the market from yesterday, which was the monthly Wednesday market. It was a good market yesterday, had good sales. The plants were looking good. We didn't sell everything, but we still did, you know, some good volume. And I'm now dehydrating the plants that we had left over, making some more powders because the powders are selling better and better. And so, you know, there's some people that I know that once they start coming back, they'll be buying the powders more and more. Those people who understand the benefit of getting them dehydrated. So I really do want to make a sign that we can put next to these bottles that we're selling, like 60% off, or so that when we're, and I can actually do 60% off because we're actually, if they try to do that live, they try to do it through live plants. It's the equivalent of about $102. And so we are selling it for less than, you know, for more than 50% off at this point. Eventually, as the sales pick up on it and people want it more, then we'll go up on that price because I know people will pay it. Saying that, you know, it'll last a month, and if you try to do the same thing in a month, you know, just doing the minimum, it'll cost them about $102 to do that. So I want a sign that says that so people can see the value of it, you know, without us having to explain it. What else? I did check the grant site, still no change. I talked to the farmer, one of the black farmers out there. He said he heard from them, and he was told by the USDA for what he applied for that they had run out of money and that they would fund him in February. But we still haven't heard anything. No, not the same grant. He was applying for irrigation and that kind of stuff. Yeah, they go through, they do the cycle and give it to where they want to. It's just like everybody who applied for the grant that we applied for. I found out that most of those organizations that they usually select are like all white organizations that are supposed to be educating like black people and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to give it a little bit more time. And then once it's supposedly their slow season, then I'm going to try to be on the phone more, trying to contact them and talk with them, get a person on the line that I can, you know, ask questions to and say, hey, we submitted for this loan. Can you do a page that tells me who this was awarded to, so forth and so on. I really want to write a letter and say they should change their name to the U.S. U.S. Discrimination Association, because that
is
all.
Can you say it away, Brother Mal?
Huh? Say that again.
No. Real low.
You said I'm real low?
Breaking up.
It's like breaking up.
Can you?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I was doing that intentionally. No.
I know.
Oh. Okay. Can you hear me better now?
I can.
All right. Amen. Okay. So, once they come into their slow season, and I'm going to try to make an appointment with Kayla, the young lady from the USDA again, see where she's at, see if they're still, I guess I can just shoot her an email and see when they are projected to slow down. As I said, I went on their site, and there's no change to our application, but I had talked to some other people, and they were saying that, the vast majority of the people doing that type of work or doing those approvals were in the Northeast, or not the Northeast, in the Northwest, where there are no black people at, that type of stuff. Just a few. A few. Not a whole lot. We'll see. Let's see what else. I think that's all that I actually had time to do. I've been working on personal stuff, VA stuff. So, yeah. I think it's all in the updates that I have. So, let's see. Still doing the research on the stores to see which ones we want to actually, write to or go by and drop a letter off. And, this month is a slow month for us. So I actually started growing some more microgreens so I could stay in the cycle and to, make more powder. And then for, our own consumption. I think I'm going to do a couple of grows where I can just create samples out of once I identify the stores that I want to go to and just, have something to take to them as a sample. I really should do that this month because the Wednesday market, so I guess it's 2 weeks, 3-4 weeks for this next market. You remember when they said the market would start?
September 15th.
15th. Okay. So, roughly about a month away. I'll still grow so that I'm ready for those markets, but grow to perfect it for the heat. The stuff that we have been doing, like I said, I'm not running the light during the day so that the heat from the lights is not competing with it, adding to the heat from the sun. And I'm running them like from 11 o'clock at night to about 4 or 5 in the morning to be working. It has worked real well with the last two grows. Only this time the fenugreek came up good, but as soon as I put it up under the light, it started to shrivel that it was still too hot for it. Mm-hmm. And so I may look at, like I did with the wheatgrass, I brought some of the wheatgrass into my office because my office is kind of dark, got shaded windows. And so the germination went real well with the wheatgrass. And then when I actually put it in the light, I didn't put it under the light in the grow room. I set it next to a window that gets light comes in it, but direct sunlight doesn't. And so it did pretty well with that. Matter of fact, I gave away one wheatgrass yesterday. I took six, gave away one. And so I sold five wheatgrasses yesterday, for people, their pets. If we were going to get into a volume of people, want wheatgrass juice, I don't really want to get into that because then you got to, start having a food handler's card. And I just don't feel like going through the things to get that. So I, you know, just tell them to mix it or blend it. But I still want to work on that and get the blades of grass a little bit thicker. Maybe it's the seed that I bought. I'm not sure. But, you know, the first rows that I did were a lot greener, a lot taller, and I'm thinking that the heat is still holding them down. They're not growing as fast and as tall as they did the time while it was still kind of cool. So I think once the temperature goes back down in the 90s here, which means I can keep the room out there in the 70s, that it'll grow taller again, because that's that seems to be the temperature that most of these plants want, about 72 to 75 degrees. And they seem to get thicker and, you know, they grow thicker. So right now they're still, it takes them a little bit longer to get thick, but, you know, because I'm not putting a lot of light to them, they come up kind of, what do you call them, leggy, thin. So they'll come up, they'll get taller, but they're thinner. And then once I start putting the light to them, and then the leaves start to actually fill out in them. So it's a process, but, you know, people are still happy with them. You know, they're still coming back to, you know, repeat customers are coming back, and so that's always a good sign. So we were doing the bylaws. And let me bring those up. A package by the door. I don't know, I thought that I thought truck stop out there. I had some more seeds that I ordered. Mm-hmm. No, you can put the seed in the box. I did a bylaw from last week. Let me share my screen. And we're not going to do an approval on the on the minute area yet.
Okay, dokie.
Yeah, we'll file them, but we won't, because we don't have any approvals in here yet.
Right.
You know what? I am going to make a motion because we don't have a change here. Continuing with business. So I'm going to make a motion that the minutes from, we've been working on this like 3 weeks. So the minutes from the 20th of July, the 27th of July, and the 3rd of August be adopted as written, and I'll send out copies of those. Do I have a second?
I second.
Can all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Those minutes are adopted as written. I will sign those and send them out. As approved on today. Let's see, where are you guys at? There you are. Let me share my screen. Okay. And my screen should be shared, and you can see it if you let me know.
Yes, I have it.
All right, thank you. And what about you, Sister Denise?
I'm trying to get it now.
Okay.
Yes, I have it.
Okay, thank you.
You heard me?
Yeah, I heard you. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay, all right, so we're going to go ahead and proceed here. So we're still working in 12.01, subparagraph 5. young adult that that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantor. That's what the heading was, and then we talked about whether they were married. That's an exception. Young adults being 18 but less than 20 years of age must be sponsored by a member of the community. And then young single parents, male or female, will be assigned a pod. I think that we still need to discuss this. Let me go back to the minute. I don't think I typed anything in here on this document. All right, so we added, I thought, let's see, or 803, this is the 10th. So yeah, those were last. When did we decide on young married couples who were less than 20? Anybody remember? I know. Yeah, did we decide anything?
Yeah, that one was okay. It was the young adult that's 18 years or less than 20.
Yeah.
Okay, now I thought we said, as we have it written here on the screen, that they would be need to be sponsored by a member of the community.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody remember that?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But look how that sound rolling out. Young adults being 18 years old, but less than 20 years of age. And it just be less than 20? We have to have 18 there.
Yeah, because I don't think we're going to let anybody come younger than that, that's by themselves.
Right.
So 18 to 20 years old, if they're single,
okay,
must be sponsored by a member of the community. That means that somebody would have to allow them to come and live with them.
Right.
Young single parent, male or female, will be assigned a pod. That makes sense because they are single parents. They already got a kid.
Right.
If they're married, they would be assigned a pod.
Right.
So B and B, I'm gonna actually flip these because married, we know we're gonna assign them a pod, and if they're single parents, we're gonna assign a pod. Which.
Right.
I guess we have to decide whether we are going to require them. I guess we need to put something in here about being responsible or whatever. Still up under the section for needing a contract guarantor.
Right.
So we need to make a decision if they are financially responsible. I guess we need to put that in here. They need a contract guarantee. Now, what are we going to use? So we're talking about people who are coming to the community. If they're vetted, then we should already know whether they're financially responsible or not.
Right.
If they're not vetted, well, they should be coming if they're not vetted.
Right.
If they're vetted, we know they're financially responsible, then they should get their own pie. But if they vet it and not, they find they're not financially responsible or financially able, then they're responsible.
Yeah, that would make sense. So I want to see if we can do it right here in the main body. I'm going to put this wording in here. Right word for this. Okay, how does that read to you? Okay. Let's see how does A, B, and C read to you now?
A and B is okay.
Wait a minute. There you go.
Okay. Oh, you went too far. Oh, no, you did.
Okay, that sounds okay.
Yep.
Okay, can we think of any other situation?
No, I can't.
No, not really. I can't.
You already said the one with children, right?
Yeah.
Right, the one that's married.
Right.
That's it. Okay, the
one that's less than 20 are to have a sponsor.
So have
someone in the community.
Uh-huh.
What?
Till they reach the age of eligibility.
Okay. But you got, when you do talk, you got to talk loud enough for everybody to hear you.
Okay. Is there any point, is there any point that a 20-year-old or older needs a sponsor?
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So anybody have any problems with 5, A, B, and C?
No, I don't. No.
Okay. So now we're still talking about contract guarantor. Okay. A member must have a contract guarantor, A, here, if, one, the member in question has received three or more notices of non-payment of rent within the previous 12 months. So let's talk about this because everybody's giving their money on a monthly basis, and it's just going into the general fund. If for whatever the reason somebody's payment don't go in, if that happens three or more times, then we're going to have to tell them that they need a contract guarantor. It is.
Well, first we got to find out why their money stopped going into.
Right. I mean, you have to do some research.
Right.
Because their money would have already been going into.
Why they're not paying.
Yeah, and so now we got to find out why they're not paying. What happened? But they should have, you know, truth be known, they should have came and made that known. But we're going to say after 3 months, because this is saying three or more notices of non-payment.
Because it would seem to me, if it's three or more times that they're not paying, this is like a habit or something.
Yeah, something has changed with them, and if they're not paying, then it's going, you know, there could be a lot of different circumstances, you know, because when it's somebody, you know, if you're on Social Security, then, and that's what you're giving, then that's what you're giving, but if it is, you know, somebody who is, you know, working, and maybe they got fired.
Well, I would think that the time it happens.
Well, whatever the reason is, we need to try to figure out what's going on.
Well, yeah, you're going
to. But I'm saying, if they already have a problem with keeping up with their rent payment or whatever, then it's just like a pattern to me.
Yeah, and it probably should be addressed before 3 months. But we also got to look at, again, the spirit of the community. And so we would need to go to them and say, you know, hey, you haven't met your obligation that you agreed to, and it's going to be something for the member services or whoever to handle. But you haven't missed your obligation, or you've been missed, you know, you missed 3 months, then, and this is not what this is actually saying right here. It says the member in question has received three or more, what, notices of non-payment within the previous 12 months. So it don't have to be three consecutive months, the way this is written. They got three or more notices of non-payment.
At any time.
Yeah. So they could miss, let's say they missed January, March, and July.
Would
that
be a year?
That's in 12 months.
Well, if they missed January and February, then that should be addressed right then. Like I'm saying, if we already know they have this kind of particular problem, it should be addressed not 3 months, 2 months, I'm thinking. Because I what's going on?
Okay. What do you say, Sister Neat?
I don't know right now.
Okay.
I'm still thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I would think it would say the minute. Cause, okay, if you 3 months behind and you get a contract guarantee, that contract guarantee has to catch up with those 3 months.
Yeah, they would have to bring them current.
Okay. So that's a lot, right? It could be a lot compared to whatever the amount would be.
Yeah.
Right?
And
we already given our all we have.
Right.
So how will we be able to catch up with them?
As we said, so we have to put this in a situation, okay? to make it thinkable.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we try to do stuff in abstract, then for me that just doesn't work. So let's say that somebody, I'm just going to make it simple. Somebody said that they would be given $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That was their offer.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, they get 3 months behind, that's going to be $1,000 that their guarantee is going to have to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
They give the all, whether they have to give
but
the help.
That's their all. I just said their all is $1,000.
I don't know. The contract guarantee, the guarantor.
That's that. No, the guarantee
right.
ain't got nothing to do. If the guarantee, the guarantee could come from outside the community.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So
oh.
No, the guarantor is just saying, hey, I'm the guarantor, whoever it is saying that I'm willing to make their payments if they don't make them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The guarantor ain't saying they give them 100% of their money.
Oh, okay.
Well, I would think they should have a backup guarantee before they even come here. I mean, because if they're behind 3 months, it's still a lot, right? Because they want anybody to guarantee to cover that much at one time.
Well, and I agree, but you know, I got to change my mode of thought. I'm trying to make sure that we're not trying to act like the world.
I know. Well, I would say that if they're behind, they know they could possibly be behind after that first month more, then they need to come to the committee and state that, you know. That way,
right.
They automatically have somebody to cover that month for them in a guaranteed situation, not 3 months.
Yeah, I would agree. They need to come as soon as they know what the issue is.
Yeah.
Okay, so it shouldn't
right.
be anything hidden. Or they shouldn't be saying, well, yeah, it shouldn't be anything hidden, okay? But at the same time, it is also, it depends on circumstance, because we're not like the world, so.
Right, if they have a contract guarantee. They should come to that person and let them know I lost my job.
Right.
Or something.
But see, they may not have a contract guarantee because they had a job.
Yeah.
And they were responsible. Now something has happened.
Yeah. Well, I still think they should.
But then they need to come to the committee and tell them.
Right.
What's it 3 months?
The 3 months was in here.
Okay. That's the world. Because if you rent an apartment, they don't give you that loan. But if you own it, and you're paying like a mortgage, they give you 3 months.
Yeah, well,
okay.
even for this right here,
mm-hmm.
Because it is, we got to go back and we got to always remember what our tenants are of the community,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so we're all sharing everything equally. So if somebody, something happened and somebody can't meet the financial obligation that they were signed up with,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, they should be going to the member services office, officer, whoever that is,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, letting them know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So classic example would be, I'm going to use myself as an example. Let's say that I came into the community, I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to make a living outside the community and still live in the community. And then I lost my job, whatever the case may be. Then as soon as I lost my job, then I know I'm not going to be able to make those payments. And so then I need to let the community know that I lost, what, my job,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm looking for another one. The community then, because of the way we're set up, we're supposed to be able to carry them for a certain amount of time
right.
at least. Okay,
right.
So it's not just like, oh, you lost your job, you got to go. It don't work that
right.
way.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, I'm just explaining. Okay, so are we getting into the correct frame of mind?
Right.
Yeah, let me go ahead and explain. So if they are... You know, they lost their job, and it's, you know, I don't care what the reason was, whether they got mad and they cut somebody out and got fired, or they just let them go, the end result is they lost their job.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the community is going to have to say, okay, you got to, you know, you're going to have to be looking for other work, and we're willing to carry you for, we got to put a time frame to that.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. So if they don't find it that way, you can do it, and they will carry you however long you stay, right? But in the meantime, you have to find a contract guarantee, or either you have to use them or you don't. So it's there. It's set in place.
Yeah, well, this is saying, according to this, the way it's written right now, as soon as they lose their job, they would need a contract guarantee. Okay.
No.
Right.
Okay. Well, like you said, we should be able to carry them for how long?
Yeah, well, we gotta determine that.
Okay.
As a policy.
So once that determines as a policy, right? Then whatever that may be, in that time frame of repairing them, they would have to find a contract guarantee or a job, whichever comes first. Now, to pay that back in, right? They can add the extra.
No, there's no extra.
Well, when they pay it back in, well, then they don't have to worry about paying it back in at all, right?
No.
Okay. So that's fine then.
Because if we would violate scripture if we tried to, you know, make them pay a penalty.
What's that penalty?
Well, if they got a contract guarantee, or if, you know, as soon as they start making their money, they would never be able to catch up.
Well,
they're giving their
right.
All.
Well, you got a certain, yeah, that's true.
So
okay.
that's a no.
Okay. So I'll also know this about people now. We know who. We like to have people be in the same mind frame, right? And not like the world, right? But I do, especially young people. They will ride it out hoping nobody will stay in as long as they can.
Yeah, well, if the member services officer or that committee, that team, were responsible for that, if they see that that's what's going on, you know, the first month that they miss, that, you know, they should be asking or reminding them, hey, your what, payment is late or it stopped? Did anything happen? Did you lose your job or whatever? Okay.
Right.
The committee would have to be on that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as, you know, they say, well, you know, I lost my job or I'm in between jobs or whatever. The matter is we have to come up with a hard and fast rule. I won't say hard and fast, but we have to come up with guidance to say that, you know, the community will carry you for X amount of time. Now,
okay.
The here is the reality of life. The more money you are making, if you're working on the outside, the more money you are making, if you lose your job, the longer it's going to take you to find a job.
Take you to get a job, yeah.
Okay, that is just a fact. So if you are making $100,000 a year, it's going to take you anywhere from a year to 2 years to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Replace that.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if they were giving their all and that's what they were giving, then we would have to say, hey, we're willing to carry you because that's what you were bringing. Okay. And if they're not going to be going looking for a job at McDonald's or working at McDonald's, for the simple reason that when you go to work someplace else, it's hard to find another job. You have to be available. So, you know, it circumstance play a lot in this. So as we talk about this, we need to, because they're not, here's the deal. They're not, if they're giving their all, then they're not doing what?
They're not keeping a loan.
They're not keeping a loan? The law.
The law.
They're not
cooperating with the community.
No, I said if they're giving their all.
Oh.
Not if they're not.
Okay.
They give
them.
Yeah. So they're not able to have their own what, savings account if they're giving their all.
No.
Right. Right.
So you know we're requiring some things that we just can't say. Oh, you can live off your savings because they won't really have
right.
a savings.
Have limit savings, right.
Right. And so that's why I think we got to stay within the confines of the community and what our standards are.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Now, I will say this about some folks.
Now,
I'm trying to get, you know, you guys have a tight ruling because of the fact that if people find a way, you know how our kids are, they'll find a way to put everything.
No. See, that's why, if it's written, it's written that way.
Yeah.
They won't be able to twist it.
So, some say, you say 2 years. Take 2 years to find it and we'll carry them or whatever?
No, we're not going to say that either, okay? I'm saying for them
case
to come up with,
case-by-case
basis, because if somebody was bringing, let's say, well, again, we got to also believe that people got somewhat integrity, especially if they're saying they are following the laws of the Most High.
Right.
So I don't want to look at people like and you know, be suspect of them like they're like the world. Okay.
Right.
So here is the deal. I'm just saying that I know for a fact that the more money you make, the longer it takes to get a job. If you are working at Kmart, it don't take that long to get another job at someplace like Walmart.
Right.
Because it just does. But if you were an engineer someplace and you were trying to replace that same income or more, then it's going to take longer. In the meantime, we have to be realistic as well and say, okay, nobody's going to be looking for a job 8 hours a day.
Right.
Or you know, that, you know, you put in time to look for a job, you put out your applications, you do that kind of stuff. And so, they might say, hey, you have to find some type of work or be working in the community, whatever the case may be, in the meantime.
Right.
So, we say, hey, so we really need to discuss this. It is, it can be very touchy. And we still have to stay within the guidelines of the community.
Right.
Okay. And within, and I'm going to say, when I say within the guidelines of the community, we got to stay within the spirit of the community. Okay. We can't say that, oh, your family, unless you don't have a job.
Right.
Because then that's kind of jacked up. Or.
It is.
Your family, unless you get sick.
Right.
You know, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, so.
No.
So we really need to, we're not looking at people as, like this as rent, because that's not really what we look at it as. It is their what? It's their commitment that they were getting. It's their all. So their rent is included, their food is included, their housing is included. We don't have a separate, you know, thing for, oh, you're paying this much for a house. It's not broken down that way. Everybody's got, no matter how much money you're coming with, everybody's got all things equal.
Mm-hmm.
So by the bylaws, if somebody's bringing $5,000 a month, if somebody's bringing $1,000, they're equal. Because it's both of their all. So they're getting equal housing, they're getting equal food, they're getting equal utilities, the whole nine yards.
Perfect. All right.
So we got to stay within those confines, and then we got to say what is fair and right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within that. So, okay, we're going to use me, as I said, as an example. I was bringing $1,000 a month. That was my all. And I lost my job for whatever the reason. And I come to the board or I come to the member services office and say, hey, I lost my job. And are there any jobs within the community I can do? Well,
yeah.
I mean, they may or may not be. Depends upon. Everybody is supposed to be doing certain things in the community. Okay, but then there's other, like let's say if it's farming, and farming, or if it's in the glamping site, and the glamping site is making money and they want to go there to work, then whatever, they're helping to what? Bring in money from that site?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be working within the community. Because they're going there to work. They're being paid, but not being paid. Okay. So
right.
We say, if you go to work, so we could put a value on, I would say, each position. Like, let's say if they're doing maintenance at the glamping site, then we can say that job, for all practical purposes, being paid X amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're doing the maid job, then that job, that type of work would bring in X amount of money.
Right. Okay.
And so that's what they would be contributing back.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we could look at that and say, yeah, there's a job available in the community. You can go do this. And so that's how they're redoing their commitment.
Right.
Based upon that.
Yep.
If there's no jobs available within the community and their income was coming from outside, then we might have to say, hey, there's no jobs available within the community, but we expect you to be looking for a job. Now we got to decide what that time frame is. That makes sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so I'm going to say like this. Everybody's considered to be family. So how would you do your family in that case?
Right.
Y'all don't be laughing.
Some people just have a little street.
Let's pass this out. So who want to go first?
Not me.
Okay. No, I'm going to say the way that I am, okay? And this is really the way that I am. If people in the family come to me and say they need help,
I'm going to help them.
Yeah, then I'm going to help, okay, in as much as I can. If they need a place to stay, I've never not told anybody to come to me and said they need a place to stay, even though we haven't had anybody actually do that really in a long time. I'm not turning people down away, and I, explain to them, hey, I expect that you're doing something around here while you're here. I just gonna come and lay up. But, these people will be part of the community already. So they already have their own place. And they already have a job within the community, more than likely, because everybody's got to contribute that way to the community. So then I think the only thing we would be saying to them is, hey, we expect that you would be actively looking for what employment.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week or once every 2 weeks or once a month, you got to report to the member services officer and give them an update.
Right.
As to where you're at, it's just like, kind of like the world, because the world's good at that as far as controlling. But we do have to have some type of mechanism that says, hey, we understand you're out of work and that you're actively looking, and you need to report you need to give an update to the member services officer to show that what you are, that you're looking.
Status of your situation.
Right. Prove that you're looking. They still get to, still keep their quarters, still get to eat, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might. And if they do, then they'll say, okay, well, I'm getting unemployment for this time. So that's what's going to be coming in.
But it won't hurt to have anybody. So they're giving it all still.
Right. But they will still be, and if they're working on the outside and they got unemployment, then, say, right now, my income's going to be my unemployment.
Right, right. If you find another job.
Right. So I think it's just a matter of, because I really want to believe if we're vetting people that they have integrity.
Right.
And they understand, and we're not going to just put them out on the street.
Right.
Or say, you got to go. That just, to me, that is not
no.
godly.
No, it's not.
So that's how I am as a person, okay? Somebody comes to me and asks for help, then unless God says no, I mean, he gives me a hard no, I'm going to do what I can to help them. If I know that they are strung out on crack and they're really trying to, you know, they're still doing crack, I'll tell you right now, I'm in a heartbeat, no.
Right.
Why? Because I know what you're going to do. And you are, you know, you're in this position because you are being punished for what you're doing. Now, if you got sick, and you lost your job, then you were taken captive. And so that's beyond you. Then, yeah, I'm gonna do what I can to help. If you are strung out on crack, then you were sent into captivity. Most I was saying, change your ways. And you know, you can't help somebody that's strung out or, you know, on drugs and they don't
and
want
no
to quit.
Yeah.
Right. You can't help them because they don't want to be helped.
Right.
So, you know, I usually use the rule of whether they were sent into captivity or whether they were taken captive. And my rule for that, rules for that is simply this. If it's not your fault, then you were taken captive by the situation. And so I will help you in that situation. But if you're doing something to bring it on yourself, and this is the result of your own action.
All out.
Yeah. Then no, you can't be helped. You gotta change your ways. And if we help you, there's no incentive for you to change your ways. I had to learn that with my brother. You know, I had to tell him, hey, I can't love you enough because he was an alcoholic. And he didn't want to quit drinking. And, you know, he'd wake up asleep outside his own door or, you know, get pulled over by the cops. And the cops would call me. And, you know, we're calling you because he's more afraid of you than he is us. And so, you know, I would just tell him, I said, I can't love you enough for you. You got to love yourself enough that you want to quit. I mean, I went through a lot with him, and I paid off, you know, he had a bunch of traffic tickets, and he couldn't get his license and all that kind of stuff. I helped him out of it only for him to go back into it because he wasn't ready to quit. So, you know, you got to know when to help and when not to help. So that, you know, that's kind of the standard that I use. If they're doing it to themselves, if they're taking the rent money and spending it on drugs, then, hey, I can't help you.
Right.
You need to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
If you lost your job and you can't get another job and the rent is due, if I can help you, then I'll help you. That's the way I do things. I can't say everybody's got to do it that way. But that's typically what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and talk to them and find out what the situation is and then say, okay, what can we do in this situation? Or, no, I'm not getting involved with that.
But you have to always talk to see what the situation is.
Yeah, you do. I just said that I'm going to make my decision based upon whether it's their fault or not. Something that they're doing, then they got a lesson they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it's not, you know, to their own doing, then I will, you know, bend over backwards to help. So that is my own way that I do things. Now, I don't say everybody has to do things that way. So, again, I say, how do we want to treat And the situation for those that are living among us, you know, they lost their job for whatever reason. And now they are without income or what have you. Do we want to put a time limit on it? Huh?
If they legally lost their job, because all of us have got either fired, laid off, or just lost our job. And if that's the case, then, you know, they need help.
Right.
Like you were saying, it's because of some kind of you're doing.
Then that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing.
Right.
Like I said, it all depends on the situation.
Okay, what are you trying to figure out?
How, me?
No, this is Sister Sharon talking.
I'm trying to figure out how, because I don't see there's any place for them to work.
Where?
Up there.
There. If people come, if I went up there now and I wanted to work for Amazon, well, if I got internet, mm-hmm. I can work for Amazon.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering, you know, and then I thought about something. I don't see any place to work up there. I don't know how many miles the next big city is.
40 miles away.
40 miles away.
Which is nothing when there's no traffic.
Yeah. So, you know how you and the last couple of things is doing that center, like a call center type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like get contracts or something to do certain jobs that have the whole community having something.
Well, that's what the glamping is for. It's one of the things of the glamping. And then the actual farm itself. And then there's permanent jobs within the community, like somebody would be responsible for maintaining electricity, even though everybody got to know how to do it, it'd be somebody's primary job.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, what we want is redundancy, so if somebody gets sick, stuff just don't stop.
Right.
You know, if a bunch of people get sick, you know, because we got to always plan on what, worst case scenario?
Mm-hmm.
So if we got, let's say we have a community of 20 people, we've grown that big, or let's say if it's a community of 5 people, let's start there. That with a community of 5 people and everybody's got a job, everybody's doing, that one person is doing a lot of things. And especially if the one thing we can't have is one person doing so many things that,
yeah.
And nobody else doing it. No, not that they get burnt out. It's that they're doing a whole bunch of things and nobody else knows how to do it, and then they get sick.
And then
that is just poor management.
Yep.
Okay. And
that's
poor forethought. So, and that's poor survivability. You know, because, you know, at any given time, let's say if we allow, you know, we're allowing people to work outside of the community, if they go to work outside the community, then they can bring stuff in from what? Outside the community?
Yeah. Wow. But that's what I'm glad.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we would, hopefully we're going in and anytime somebody is, you know, if it's glamping, then we're sanitizing after they leave. If whoever's dealing with the people, they're practicing safe contact. You know, so you're doing what you can not to be sick, but, you know, stuff happens. I'm going to say it that way.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do is plan for if Sister So-and-so gets sick, what is she doing? What is she responsible for? Does anybody else know how to do that?
Right.
Everybody got to wear the mini hat.
Right.
Mini hat.
Everybody got to wear it. Yeah. And then you can have one person that's the expert in the area that says, okay, here's the policy. This is how we need to do that. And then now this is what everybody has to do.
Some jobs, you know, it's impossible for people to know that part.
No, it's not impossible for them to know. Because the bottom line is they have to know, they have to, everybody has to know a little bit about everything.
Right.
So I wouldn't expect, you know, I wouldn't expect somebody, you know, once we get the system in place, circuits and all that kind of stuff, then here's the circuit breakers. Everybody should know where that's at. Okay. And then as far as survivability, then this is how it works. So come here, sister. I want you to do this. Okay. And don't touch that.
We
can have people certified to learn those things, but they can also be taught on site. Okay. And just like, okay, in this house, when we had that room added in the back, I had one of my students come out. He was an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I hired him and I paid him to do the work. I said, what I want you to do, though, while you're doing it, I want you to explain to me how this panel works, okay? And then when we're running this wire to the back, I want you to explain to me how we're bringing it into that panel,
mm-hmm.
and then how we're distributing it, okay? And then teach me about the high voltage. And so I had him to teach me how the high voltage works. Okay, and then whenever we had to add a light, or we added, I added the ring camera that's on electricity,
mm-hmm.
or I added that air conditioner,
mm-hmm.
I did all that work myself,
mm-hmm.
because I understood the concept behind it now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I wouldn't have went anywhere near. I'm like, I'm not getting electrocuted. Because, it don't take but a hot second.
That's all.
It don't take but
that's
a hot
it.
Second. And... you know, 110, 240 volts will knock you off of it. It still might hit you, it still might kill you, but it'll knock you off. If you touch something that's 110, which is a lower voltage,
mm-hmm.
it'll make you grab it, track and grab it. And you can't let go. Well, is that the frequency that your muscles causing to contract? So I was always afraid of high voltage. Even though I work with
you.
Yeah, once you understand.
Please don't make me do nothing electric.
Oh, no, sister. It depends on how many people are there. Yeah,
you're
going to have to learn them.
You need to be on it. Yeah, I want to learn it.
I do. I want to learn it.
Yeah.
I know Sister Mary wants to stay away from it. But once you understand and know what to look for, then it is really not that complicated, okay? You know, the last thing you want to be, it everybody's sick and you're the only one not, and they got fevers of 102 and 3, and it's 105 degrees outside, or it's 98 degrees outside, and the only reason why is that things aren't working because the AC went out or the electricity turned off, and Sister Mary don't want to go flip the circuit breaker. Because it's electrical.
Oh, I can flip a circuit breaker.
Don't worry,
I can be the wires. I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, I'll make it interesting, and hopefully you never have to do it.
I pray for that.
But if you should have to do it, at least you're not going into it blind. Okay. Because if the heat goes out, And it's 10 degrees, and you can't get no heat, and you ain't got no wildfire, and it needs to be fixed, then we need to have the ability to fix it.
Mr. Mayor, I was going to hook it up to a bicycle for emergency purposes. I ride the bike. Electricity.
You ride the bike.
I ride the bicycle all day long.
Okay. I'm with you.
They
see around the bike.
3 months later, they come back. Why are you sisters looking like bones?
Well,
like skeletons.
Well, that's a good thing.
Maybe. But according to our bylaws, everybody has to know a little bit about everything. Because you never know whether we get, I know now. I know Sister Mary will pick up an AR-15 in a heartbeat.
Yes, I will.
See?
No, I won't do that.
So,
I will.
Unless you pick somebody, I will. But.
Well, the truth of the matter is, everybody's got to know how to shoot. Everybody got to know
how
to
shoot. I
want to
know how to shoot.
Yep, everybody's got to know
how
to do a lot of things.
I want to learn, too.
They shoot counts it up.
So it's not.
No, it didn't, you know, that it's people's own land, okay? That's what those people are saying. Hey, I'm paying for this land. And the truth of the matter is, are they supposed to be shooting like that? No, they're still shooting. They could, if they're not careful. But if you got 40 acres, that's a long way for a bullet to travel without hitting it. Okay, I'm just telling you. But if it comes down to these things, you might have to be out there hunting for your own food.
Yeah.
So, or
that cow come along, you grab it.
It'd be like,
let's grab.
It's gonna have to be a dire situation where we're going to take somebody else's cow.
No, they come on your property. You just take them.
Yeah, that's not honest.
Well, no, they come on your property. So do not trespass. That's including animals, but cows too.
No, that's not what the scripture says.
I know.
That ain't what the scripture says.
We were dire need.
Now we have to give the cow back.
We have to give it back.
Well, you know
where
to, you know?
Well, take it back out to the road, whatever. You can make it all fat, you can't eat it. So,
what you say, if I see somebody's cow out there, I'm
yep.
supposed to bring them back their cow.
Right. If your brother's cow goes straight,
leave the cow out
yeah.
there.
You're supposed to lead them back to him. You ain't supposed to take them and say, oh, well, we were hungry, so sorry, your cow got eight.
Well, how about the mountain goats? The mountain
goats. They're free. They're wild.
Yeah, I know, but... Oh,
cow,
that's
fair game.
No, you ain't going to assume that the cows are domesticated.
It'll be branded anyway.
Yeah, but they're
domesticated.
Now,
he's fair game, too.
Yeah.
What's fair game? What's fair game?
The cow.
Yeah.
The cow ain't fair game.
The cow, I know y'all hungry. I'm coming to help y'all.
That cow is like the cow probably said, I'm hungry. I'm going to look for y'all.
Sometimes, what happened? With ram in the bush, right?
But that's a wild animal.
Well, that's a wild animal.
No, they're not. The cow is a domesticated.
Remember the farmer moved?
No, stop trying to justify that.
No, I'm not justified. But you remember the farmer had to move. They lost the contract they had, and they probably left some cows out there.
That don't mean that the cow is wild.
Well, you can't take the cow back if the farmer's not there anymore.
Well, it ain't yours still.
Well, what do you do? Just leave it out
just
there?
Just let it roam. That's what they do.
Y'all hungry? I'm here to answer your prayer. Put me out of my misery because I don't want to be by myself.
Yeah, I ain't going to touch that one. I'm going to leave it alone.
No, sir, we're going to keep that cow.
That's right. No, I'm just messing.
No, she ain't.
But
no, she ain't.
I'm hungry.
No, you know people around there.
Go ahead on my food.
Yeah. I'd be like, y'all pray. I have to pray for y'all. I know.
We need it.
Huh?
We need it.
Yeah, because we can't be saying we're going by the law and that's not convenient.
If that cow don't have a brand on it, it's free game. Because we don't know who it belongs to or anybody. It could be just.
You know it don't belong to
it
you.
It could be just dropped out of the sky.
Yeah.
You know, God's done that. But, you know, manna rain. Cow gonna rain. No, he's going to hit the head, but it's.
You're crazy. All right, let's move on. Yeah, everybody's got to know a little bit of everything. So if they're, you know, come down to it. If it ain't nothing out there wild to eat. We're in a meeting. So I would say you got to know how to hunt. Don't be out there hunting something out of somebody's herd. I separated from the herd, and it was by itself. Or it was on our land, so now it belonged to us. No, we're going to have to stay within the scriptures. Now, I'll just say it that
way. You can't do the farmer's keeper, huh?
No. Not in good conscience. Now, if we know ain't nobody around for 75, 80 miles, and it's just us, and that cow having up, oh well, that's probably going to be dinner for a couple of days. But if it's, you know, if you got neighbors and stuff like that, and especially if you know that there's people around that have animals like that, livestock, then yeah, you have to assume, you know, it's not yours.
Right.
So, you know, I know people in desperate times will do desperate things, but you know, and then we're not supposed to eat anything that we find what?
Dead.
Right. We got a standard that we still have to maintain. You just saw that cow fall over dead too. But when you got to him, he was
dead.
I
don't even eat the other mouth, so.
Well, I hear you. Most of us do. I got away from eating it myself. But, you know, most of us do eat it. When I'm saying us, I'm talking about Hebrew. And I'm finding that still a lot of them still eating pork. Just say that they're not. So, and then when people get hungry, everything starts looking what, edible. So, you know, you can tell by what's in a person when they when they get put to the fire. That's when you'll find out.
Well, I still hope there's some grass or something around.
Hey, there's always some grass around.
Well, I can work with that.
Amen. I mean, you know, it's there's always something around where you gotta, you know, walk around and find it. A lot of acreage. You can find wild animals that are still edible and clean. You might have to learn how to trap.
Right.
You might have to walk away. Like there's, I think within 20 miles, there's like a lake. And I know as a kid, well, I don't think I'm going to do it at this age, but when I was a young man, walk 15 or 20 miles wasn't nothing. It really wasn't.
I ain't ever did that.
I have. You just have some people that you're walking with and you're talking. Time go by fast, as long as you ain't playing around.
So, anybody willing to eat a coon?
It's raccoon.
Yeah, my mother used to cook them.
Yeah.
I don't eat them.
I don't know if coon is clean.
They used to eat coon. I mean, I tried it one time.
Wait a minute. We ain't talking about what y'all did in the world.
I know in the world, but hey, it's a coon. You said.
I don't know if coon, because you still got to do the dietary law. And if coon is not clean, it's like a pig. It's not clean. A wild boar.
What
yeah.
about a deer?
Deer is clean.
They smell bad.
It don't matter. It's clean. It don't matter. They're clean.
I won't be eating
them. I'll stick with the grass.
Yeah, I can't get by. I can't get down to the
grass.
Yeah, I hear y'all now after 3 weeks. Well, what happened to the goat? Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
In the fingers. Oh, my God.
Where did that mosquito go?
Yeah, where'd it go?
All I'm going to say is when it's cold, that cow's going to be under the snow with a keep cold. Well, y'all won't know that it's there.
What, you going
to
be freezing?
I'm going to learn how to butcher at the college. I'm going to have to butcher tomorrow.
You're going to be butchering somebody's cow.
I don't know.
No, I don't think coon is clean, though.
It don't even sound clean.
Yeah.
No.
Even rabbit is not clean.
Uh-huh.
Squirrel is not clean, and these are the things that people in the country be eating.
Yeah.
Possum. Ain't clean.
Then they have some, what's that, coons, what's that they had at the picnic that time we went to, Mary, was,
I think it was a coon.
Was it a coon?
Looked like a dog.
I thought somebody had an alligator, a whole alligator.
Yeah.
Now, before I knew what was clean or not, we was eating some alligators. And it was good.
I could be dog, too.
Ain't even no dog.
Yeah.
But alligator actually is sweet.
Alligator, frog, it's all the same meat.
But they're not clean in accordance with the.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They're all the same meat.
So, but you know, the bottom line is, you never know. Y'all might say, you might get it back to where it was after they came off of the boat in Noah's Ark.
But everything is fair game.
Right. It was, you could eat everything. There was no such thing as, let's go get those verses. Not saying is this is what we're going to do, but you never know. And when it gets that bad, if it gets that bad.
And
that was numbers 9. No, it's not numbers. It's got to be in Genesis. Yeah. For some reason, the verse 9 is coming to mind. Mine. Hold on. Might be Genesis 9.
Aye.
I'm thinking it might be Genesis chapter 9. And we are like way off target, off topic. Yeah, let's go to Genesis 9. Chapter 9, starting in verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Elohim blessed Noah and his son and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. So he says all of that stuff was delivered into their hands.
Yeah.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be what?
Meat for you.
Every living thing that liveth at this time shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So when they came off the ark, there was nothing that was considered to be unclean for them to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was unclean. Because did Noah take so many clean beasts and so many unclean beasts onto the ark?
So that means they could eat what they had on the ark.
No, they didn't eat meat at that time. Nothing in the earth, man nor beast ate meat.
When they got off the ark,
everything scattered like roaches. Because everything that I'm meat, I'm you know, something gonna be looking for me to what? Looking to eat me, or I'm gonna be looking to eat it.
Yeah, because there was nothing there.
Yeah, you know, this the most I had to change the nature of the animals at this point. Think about it. If nothing hunts you, you're not going to be afraid of nothing, right?
Right.
If you don't, and the animals didn't have no fear of men at this time. They didn't have no, the sheep didn't have no fear of the lions. So the Most High changed the natures of the animals, of all the animals, and even man at that time. Because before this time, everything ate herbs or grass. But now, he said, told the man, I'm going to give you everything to eat, everything that moves upon the earth. So verse 9, 2 again, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth, and all the fishes of the sea, and into your hands they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So it's a different circumstance, right? They're not farmers, because if they had to wait, well, even think about this, everything is underwater for what, 150 days? The grass, the herbs, would they not have been drowned?
Yeah, everything was dead.
Yep. So, you know, whatever you could find, you could eat it.
When did that stop?
That stopped when he made Israel a nation again. Made him his priesthood. Man had already remultiplied on the earth. And God says, all right, I'm making you my priest. And here are the dietary laws. You want to come close to me? Can't even touch wine. Can't touch pig. It was a sin to even touch it. It's in the Bible.
I know,
right. That's in the Bible. Okay. That's not just a Muslim thing.
I know. That's why I'm going to mention it like that.
So when he gave the dietary law, then what did we read the other night? That until the law came, sin was in the world, even though it was not imputed unto men. You guys remember reading that?
Uh-huh.
So there was still sin, and there was still clean and unclean, what, animals?
Yeah, right.
But did we just read God said you could eat everything?
Mm-hmm.
Did he put a restriction on eating unclean animals?
No.
At this time. He didn't.
That's
okay. So he said, so now when he brings the dietary law, then he says, now these things are unclean to you. And why they are unclean to you? Because I said they're unclean to you. You've been eating these things all along. Now you got to what? Stop?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
You're going to be a special priesthood to me. So you can no longer eat these things. So when you get into the New Testament, the world is still eating swine, still eating shrimp and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when people are like that, then you can't just expect them to change overnight. Because it's just like with you know, if you ate bacon, if you see bacon, when you learn it was unclean, then you stop eating it. Or shrimp, or clam, or crab, or anything else. Once you learn that it was unclean.
I really never liked none of that.
Huh?
I just never liked none of that. Shrimp and the crabs, all that.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I liked lobster.
Yeah, I was a seafood connoisseur. What I wouldn't eat is octopus. But if it was crab or shrimp or clam, I didn't like the taste of lobster.
I did.
Yeah, I didn't like lobster. To me, just didn't have a taste. Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't like it. But everything else, clams, like I say, shrimp, catfish,
oysters
too, raw.
I know. I
got my
mother's
teeth
on the
half.
I like fried.
Yep. Do that too. But you know, once you learn it's all unclean, then you just, you know, I never went back and looked at it and said, okay, I'm sad that I don't get to eat this no more. Never crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that also has to be part of your own what will.
Right.
Yeah. Because you know, you can say, hey. I can still eat those things and do whatever. Once I learned that they were unclean, then for me it was just not a problem. Now the Most High just said, hey, tell them don't, you know, to start off with, don't eat anything that's what? Not, you know, and I know the church doesn't even teach this. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. I want you guys to tell me if you were told this. Told you, you know, how to get saved. Because the church don't even teach this, and it's in the New Testament. Acts chapter 15. And let's go down to verse 28. Acts verse 28. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
All right. For it seemed good, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now this is for salvation, that you abstain from eating meat offered to idols, and from blood, don't eat anything with blood in it, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. So when the Gentiles, when you're trying to get Gentiles to come into for salvation, part of salvation, that message of what the things that got to stop, don't be, you know, you can't be worshiping no other God for sure. But don't be.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Didn't the Egyptians used to sacrifice cows to their God?
Yes, they did. And that's why, let's see. Hold on a minute. Talked about that, okay? Let me see if I can find this. But in the New Testament, are there some stipulations on what you can eat?
The New Testament?
Yep, we just read it. If something's been offered to an idol, can you eat it? Whether it's clean or unclean.
No.
Okay.
You mean what the actual animal that's offered, that's when
you can't eat.
No.
This is talking about if it was offered to God, God is not an idol.
No.
Okay.
Oh, offered to idols. Okay.
Idol.
So, all cows are offered to an idol. The cow is offered to idols. It's all cows off limits.
No. No, cows are not off limits. Okay. The cow that was offered to an idol would be off limits.
Okay.
Cows are not considered to be unclean. But the Egyptians worshipped cows. Yeah, but their hooves are the right kind of hooves. Right. So if you worship something and somebody eating it, do you think if somebody said, hey, that shrimp is our God?
Yeah. Well, Indians house their family came back at 3:20 in this town. Well, certain religion is in there.
Yes. No. So if it's offered to an idol, so cows are clean. If somebody offered, let's say, a sheep to an idol, the sheep is clean sheep. You can't eat it because it's what?
Because
it's offered to another god, or what they think is a god. And to tell you the truth, the scripture says you could eat it, except. Well, I have to teach that because you don't eat it because telling the person they think it's what for a god, so you're reinforcing what they say, what they think. That's the reason you can't eat it. Let's see, what was I supposed to be looking up?
Moses.
Oh yeah, Moses talking about the Egyptians and their cattle.
Right.
Hold on a minute. And we'll stop here. We sort of gotten off track, but oh well.
Not important.
Now let's see. If I can find it like this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8. Book of Exodus chapter 8. Come on, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Yah spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith Yah, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into this thine house, and into thy bedchambers, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine oven, and into thy kneading trough. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And Yah spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the springs, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, said, entreat Yah that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto Yah. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat thee, and for thy service and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto Yah, your Elohim. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto Yah because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And Yah did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the village, and out of the field. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land sank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as Yah had said. And Yah said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy rod and smite the dust. And let me see where Pharaoh says, go and make sacrifice. Doing all these plagues on the land. No, maybe it's chapter 9. Not the verses that I'm looking for. I read over it too fast? Yeah, let's go back to chapter 8. I just read over it too fast. So, Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, ye sacrifice to your Elohim in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians to Yah our Elohim. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? Will they not stone us? Now, let's read that slower. What is the abominations of the Egyptians?
Cow.
Okay. So he says, kind of go and sacrifice the abomination. It's an abomination to the Hebrew, but to the Egyptian, this is not an abomination, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he says, will they not stone us? So shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes in front of them? And will they not stone us? Now, Moses is calling them an abomination, but it is the cows that they worship. Okay. So, and how do we know that it was the cow that they worship?
Isn't that half cow,
half man?
Isn't that half cow, half man?
A minotaur? That is Greek mythology.
I thought that was one of the statues that they had.
They might have a statue like that, but I don't think that's Egyptian. I think it comes from the Greek. So when they asked Aaron to make them a god, what did he make?
A golden calf.
Okay. Right. So, even though the cow in our time is not considered unclean, it's not considered unclean to the Most High, if you worship it, it becomes a what?
Idol.
An idol and it's an abomination. Okay, so we got to know that if you worship in it, you shouldn't what, be eating it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you worship in anything other than the Most High, then you got a problem anyway.
In a way.
You're right. You're right.
So let's stop here for tonight. You know, I think we got way off track. That's a new, that's a dog.
That's a dog, okay.
Yeah. That's a man with a dog here.
So we're going to table 1201A, paragraph 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Until next meeting. But we can vote on, now we'll wait for next meeting, we'll just vote on it all at one time. All right, with that being said, Sister Ma, will you pray us out?
Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. We thank you, Most High, for all that you do for us. We thank you for our life health. We thank you, Father God, for all things. We thank you for allowing us to come together to work on your vision that you have for us, Father God. We ask in your name, Father, to keep us and guide us for such a time for our next meeting, Father God, to show us all the things that we need to know in our laws that you have for us. In Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So we will meet again on next week, and
next week is no more.
Yeah, next week is, oh, is the next Thursday?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, then we won't be meeting. We will have a new moon service, and so be prepared for that. We will do new moon service, and we will meet the week after, as far as the business meeting goes. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, and until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Hear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
Okay. And credit.
You got to pray about that cow.
That cow. Alone. Cow alone. He ain't messing with nobody.
You don't want to leave.
All right, Shalom.
true, there's no need. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Shalom, brother and sister Mal. Shalom, shalom, sister Denise.
Shalom, sister
Mary.
Shalom,
my sister. Peace and blessings.
Shalom, brother Mal.
Shalom. Shalom. All right. See you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Believe that our vessels that we
Even when it's coming out, it's in December? Yeah, we all came in December. Yeah.
You forget the goat cheese?
Yeah, I forgot either.